Today on From His Heart, Pastor Jeff will help you defeat your biggest enemy. And that enemy is?
The biggest enemy to courage is fear. And one of the reasons that some people aren't very courageous in their life is they're afraid. We don't know what's going to happen if we take this step, and so we oftentimes are tempted to just shrink back in fear. And the Lord knows that we're afraid. The Lord says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. And we can be courageous if we know that God is with us.
He can heal every scar.
Are you willing to stand alone for the Lord, no matter what anyone else does? Sometimes that's just what it takes to be a courageous Christian. This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, and today the message is called Standing Alone, and it's designed to help us better understand how we actually rate on the courage meter. This lesson is one of four in the series Courageous, How God Shows Up When You Step Up. If you have or will miss any of the lessons from this series we'll have this month, then go to fromhisheart.org and click the Listen tab. Today we'll be learning about a courageous prophet named Micaiah, a man who was willing to stand alone for the Lord and who serves as an incredible example and encouragement for us, as well as a challenge to boot. Open your Bible now to the Old Testament book of 2 Kings, and we'll be in chapter 22 as Pastor Jeff helps us develop the courage to stand alone for Christ.
1 Kings chapter 22, the year is 853 BC. This is the last chapter on the life of wicked King Ahab, king of the northern kingdom, the godless, wicked Ahab. And he is wanting to go to war with the Arameans. And verse 2 says, and it came about in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. Now the king of Israel said to his servants, do you know that Ramoth Gilead belongs to us? And we are still doing nothing to take it out of the hand of the king of Aram. And he said to Jehoshaphat, will you go with me to battle at Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses. And so here he is, he's getting ready to go to battle with Ahab. Bad move, a compromising move from a good king Jehoshaphat. Good people can make bad decisions, and he sure did. Verse 5, it says, moreover, Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, please inquire first for the word of the Lord. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I refrain? And they said, go up, for the Lord will give it into the hand of the king. But these were all just little kiss-ups. They were just yes men. They were just toadies. They whatever the king wanted to hear, that's the kind of prophets they were. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not yet a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him? He could tell those guys weren't true. And he says, we need to hear somebody who can speak on behalf of Yahweh. Sets the stage for Micaiah to come and speak before the king. Now, what does it take to stand alone for the Lord? Three essentials. Essential number one, it takes courage. It takes courage to stand alone for the Lord. And it is going to be difficult for Micaiah to come after they've heard from 400 prophets who all said, yes, you go, God's gonna give you the victory. Go fight against the Arameans. Go take Ramoth Gilead. It belongs to us anyway. God gave it to us, go fight. And here comes Micaiah, and Micaiah is gonna tell him, don't do it. You're going to get defeated in battle. And so Ahab didn't like to consult Micaiah. He knew he wasn't going to get a good report from Micaiah. Ahab hated him. First thing to remember, if you're going to stand for the Lord and you're willing to stand alone, you remember this, the world will hate you for it. The world will hate you for it. You stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 15, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. John says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 13, do not marvel if the world hates you. I mean, if the world loves you, something's wrong. The Bible says that if you are wanting to be loved by the world, and listen, everyone wants to be loved. Nobody likes to be hated. I don't, you don't, nobody does. Micaiah didn't. But listen, there are times where you have to take a stand, and if the world doesn't like it, tough. I mean, friendship with the world, the Bible says, is enmity toward God. It's warfare against God. Hey, the world will hate you for it if you have the courage to stand for the Lord, and the world will pressure you against it. They don't want you to stand for the Lord, and so they will exert pressure on you to cave and to compromise. Let's go on, verse 9. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, bring quickly Micaiah, son of Imla. Then the messenger who went to summon Micaiah spoke to him, saying, behold now, the words of the prophets are uniformly favorable to the king. Please let your word be like the word of one of them and speak favorably. And this guy is saying, you better not say something that's going to tick off the king. Just speak words that will make him feel good about his decision to go out and to do battle. Sometimes you have to be willing to say, I'll stand alone. Takes courage to do that. Second essential, if you're going to stand alone for the Lord, it takes commitment. Commitment to do that. Now, when the messenger told Micaiah, hey, you better speak favorable words, Micaiah says this, as the Lord lives, verse 14, what the Lord says to me, that will I speak. Micaiah lets him have it. Wow, pretty tough. All by himself, stands there. Jehoshaphat is a believer, but he's a compromised believer at this time. He's not standing with Micaiah. Micaiah is standing alone. It takes courage to do that. It takes commitment to do that. Hey, there must be a commitment to the word of God. Micaiah was committed to the word of God. Look at verse 14 again. As the Lord lives, what the Lord says to me, that will I speak. I'm just going to tell you what the Lord says. I don't care if it chaps you or not. I don't care how mad it makes you. I don't care what you do to me. I'm going to speak what the Lord says. Why? Because friendship with the world is hostility toward God. Because Micaiah wanted to be able to die and stand before the Lord and hear the Lord say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You were faithful to me. You spoke my words when I gave them to you. That's the job of a prophet. That's the job of any preacher, to speak God's words to God's people and let the chips fall where they may. There must be commitment to the word. See, Micaiah wasn't a prophet for profit, P-R-O-F-I-T. He wasn't a prophet for popularity. He was a prophet for the Lord so that he could hear the Lord say, well done. Have you noticed in our world today how there's such an attack on the word of God? The devil has always hated the word of God. In our world today, more and more churches, you know what they're doing? They're getting away from the word of God. You can go to churches and they might read a scripture here or there, but when the guy stands up to preach, they don't open the book. They don't preach from the book. They don't really talk about the book. The last thing that Paul said before they cut his head off, 2 Timothy chapter 4, he told Timothy, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and understanding. And then he goes on to say this in the CEV, the time is coming when people won't listen to good teaching. Instead, they will look for teachers who will please them by telling them only what they are itching to hear. They will turn from the truth and eagerly listen to senseless stories. They don't want to hear the truth. Now you think about it. What do people want to hear today? What really sells? Well, self-help really sells. Prosperity really sells. I mean, you come to church and you just, hey, that guy just me, he just makes me feel good. The gospel is good news. That's what the word means, good news. But for the gospel to be good news, you have to first understand the bad news. See, the gospel is all about how you can be made right with Jesus Christ, how you can be made right with God through Jesus Christ, how Jesus died for you. All that is good news. There's forgiveness for you. There's heaven for you. But in order to get in on that, you have to believe the bad news. And the bad news is you're a sinner. You're lost. You're on the highway to hell. That's not popular. Nobody wants to hear that. That's why in a lot of big churches, they'll even say, well, you know, we don't use the word sin in our church. We don't call people sinners. Well, then you're not sticking with the book. Because you have to understand there is none righteous, not even one. Who are the people who trust Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? Those who know they're lost. One preacher used to say, you got to get folks lost in order to be saved. Hey, if they don't, until you believe the bad news, you can never embrace the good news. And we have a dearth of preachers who are willing to preach, thus says the Lord, and willing to tell people the truth. Man, preach the word, because the day is coming, Paul told Timothy, when they won't endure it. They won't listen to you. I think that day is here. And see, there are a lot of guys in the pulpit. You know what they want to be? They want to be popular. You know what they want? They want to placate Mr. and Mrs. Moneybags. And so I want to say something to make sure that they're going to keep giving, because I don't want to say anything to offend. I've had people tell me this before. They said, well, you know, I'm bringing somebody to church with me. And they would say something about the sin, the lifestyle that they're living in. They say, you know, it'd really be good if you didn't say anything about that. And I feel like Micaiah. Hey, whatever the Lord says, that's what I'm going to speak. I'm going to tell people the truth. You know, I don't care what sin you're in. We're going to teach the truth and preach the truth. And listen, I am far from perfect. And if you ever come to church and you say, well, you know, that sermon really stepped on my toes. Hey, it stepped on my toes too. Hey, when I share things and you say, man, that hurts. It hits me too. I didn't write the book, but I'm commissioned by God and called by God to preach the book. So there's got to be a commitment in our hearts. We're going to stand alone, a commitment to the Word of God. And there's a commitment to stay true, no matter the cost. Hey, when Micaiah said that, the Lord has proclaimed disaster against you. Verse 24 says, then Zedekiah, the son of Kenaniah, came near and struck. You know, if you say those Hebrew names fast enough, people don't know if you mispronounce them or not. Anyway, came near and struck Micaiah on the cheek. That probably didn't feel very good. And said, how did the Spirit of the Lord pass from me to speak to you? And Micaiah said, behold, you shall see on that day when you enter an inner room to hide yourself, when you're exposed as the false prophet that you are. Then the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and return him to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus says the king, put this man in prison and feed him sparingly with bread and water until I return safely. And Micaiah said, if you indeed return safely, the Lord has not spoken by me. And he said, listen, all you people. Hey, how was he rewarded for standing alone and speaking the Lord's word? He was slapped in the face. And then he's put in prison and fed sparingly. Well, it was like, where's the reward, Lord? Yeah, the reward doesn't come now. The reward comes. Jesus said, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to his deeds. The reward is coming for those who are faithful. But right now, if you stand up, man, you're going to be hated. You're going to be pressured. You're going to be slapped down. And oftentimes, and in other parts of the country or other parts of the world, you're put in prison and you're beaten and you're tortured and you're even killed. And who knows how long that will be before that hits in America. You're going to stand alone. You're going to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ, the difficulties that will come. But you have to say, I don't care what happens. I'm going to be true to the Word of God. And lastly, it takes conviction. Conviction. That word means a firmly held belief or opinion. There has to be a confidence, not just a commitment to the Word of God, but a confidence that God always tells the truth, that God's Word is right in every situation. Why do you say no to compromise when it comes to morality, when it comes to drinking and drugs and cheating and this and that? Why are we supposed to say no? Because God says no, and God's Word is true every time. Let God be found true, the Bible says in the book of Romans, though every man be found a liar. Hey, it pays to serve Jesus. And the conviction that you have to have is that this is going to pay in the end because it pays to serve Jesus. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. It pays. To not have sex before you're married, it pays. It's going God's way, and God's way is right, and God's way will be rewarded. Hey, there's passing pleasure. There's pleasure in sin, but it's a passing pleasure, and then the bills come due, and it's awful. Hey, Micaiah had conviction that God's word was right, and that's why he said what he said to the king, Ahab. Now, Ahab hears what he says and blows it off, and sadly, Jehoshaphat hears what he says, and he blows it off too. And he goes into battle. God said, I'm proclaiming disaster in this battle. But he goes into battle. Now, Ahab is, he thinks he can outsmart God. He thinks he can beat God. So you know what he does? He hedges his bet a little bit here. He tells Jehoshaphat, who at this time is a real dope, he says, hey, Jehoshaphat, you go dress like a king, and I'm going to come disguised. Let's just do that. And so that'll be a better way to do it. And Jehoshaphat, yeah, okay, let's do that. Well, here's the problem with that. When he goes to fight the Arameans, they tell their soldiers, the king of Aram says, don't fight with anybody except the king of Israel. We want to go after the king of Israel. Well, the king of Israel doesn't look like a king because he's dressed differently. The king of Judah is the one who's dressed like a king. So they go after Jehoshaphat to kill him. And as they are coming to kill him, he begins to cry out, no doubt cry out to the Lord, and the Lord spared him. Jehoshaphat almost died because of his alliance with Ahab. The Lord spared him. And then the scripture says in verse 34, now a certain man drew his bow at random and struck the king of Israel in a joint of the armor. So he said to the driver of his chariot, turn around and take me out of the fight, for I am severely wounded. And the battle raged that day. And the king was propped up in his chariot in front of the Arameans and died at evening, and the blood from the wound ran into the bottom of the chariot. Then a cry passed throughout the army close to sunset, saying, every man to his city and every man to his country. So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria, and they washed the chariot by the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood. Now the harlots bathed themselves there, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke. In the chapter before, God had sent Elijah the prophet, and Elijah the prophet had told Ahab, in the place where you killed Naboth and the dogs licked up his blood, the dogs are gonna lick up your blood, pal. 3 years passed, nothing happened. He thought he was bulletproof. He thought, well, the word of the Lord's not coming true. The word of the Lord always comes true. The wheels of God's justice grind slowly, but they grind exceedingly fine. And when God says something is going to happen, you can take it to the bank. It's going to happen. And if the dogs are going to lick up your blood, that's what's going to happen. And God was giving Ahab, through Micaiah, an opportunity to repent, and he didn't take it, and he died. And he died a brutal death. And he died in a way that shows that God is God, because a guy just takes an arrow and just shoots it out into the air, and God takes the arrow and God guides it to the guy that's hiding, not wanting to look like a king, and it goes through a joint in his armor and kills him, or wounds him to the point where he bleeds out and he dies, and the dogs lick his blood. Such a terrible way to die. In closing, I want you to think about something. Three characters in this story, and no doubt everyone in this room, you can put yourself in one of three categories. There are the Ahabs, God is speaking to your heart, you need to repent. You need to get yourself right. You know you're not living right. You're blowing God off. You're doing your own thing. You're saying you know more than God. Listen, you're never going to beat God because God is God. And you need to repent. And this could be the last message you hear. That was the last message that Ahab heard before he died. This could be the last message for you. God is saying, repent. I love you, but you got to come to me and you got to turn from your sin and receive my forgiveness. Then there are the Jehoshaphats in this room. You're a believer, but you're compromising with sin and you're compromising with evil. And Jehoshaphat almost died in that battle. God was gracious to him, but there are no guarantees. And you might be in a situation where it's like, God, you're blowing past God's word and you need to stop and you need to get things right with the Lord. Then there's some Micaiahs, some people that God is calling out to take a stand for him with courage, with commitment, with conviction. The song of the 1800s says, stand up for Jesus. Ye soldiers of the cross, lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead. Till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. Hey, will you stand up for Jesus, even if it means standing alone?
You're listening to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, where today we heard part two of the lesson called Standing Alone. It's in a four-message series entitled Courageous, How God Shows Up When You Step Up. You can hear these lessons again at fromhisheart.org or find out more about getting the series. Whatever age or stage of life you're in, God has great plans for you. But oftentimes, it's easy to lose sight of that truth. In those moments when discouragement drags us down, there's one thing that's guaranteed to lift us up: the real truth of God's Word. As David, who lives in Texas, wrote to us, and he shares this. Being unemployed since August at the age of 55, I admit there are some days that I feel my best days are behind me. But I do know and trust that God has a plan for me to serve Him, and From His Heart has reminded me of that fact at a perfect time in my life. I'm very grateful for this ministry, Pastor Jeff, and the encouragement I receive from it. Thank you so very much. Well, thank you, David. And David's story shows the impact of your prayers and partnership with From His Heart as you help bring the encouragement of God's Word to people, not only for David, but all around the world each and every day. This is the 20th anniversary of the From His Heart program, and we can't wait to see all that God is going to do through friends like you to strengthen and encourage more people like David in the days ahead. If you'd like to make a gift this month to the ongoing outreach of From His Heart, and we would appreciate it, we'd like to say thank you by sending you Pastor Jeff's new six-message series, More Than Conquerors, a study of Romans chapter 8. This is often called the greatest chapter in the Bible, and you'll grow in your faith when you go through this study with Pastor Jeff. Just request it when you make a gift today of any amount to From His Heart, and it's available in multiple formats. Just go to fromhisheart.org or call 866-40-BIBLE. 866-40-BIBLE. Again, the series is called More Than Conquerors. Well, thank you for being with us today on From His Heart. I'm Larry Nobles, and tomorrow, Pastor Jeff will begin the last message in the series, Courageous, How God Shows Up When You Step Up. The message is called For Such a Time as This. Join us on Tuesday, right here on From His Heart. From His Heart is a listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, and we're celebrating our 20th year of speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember that no matter what, God loves you, and He has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out about that when you go to fromhisheart.org.